There's a drive into left field. That one going to stay fair. Pierce is watching, and this one is fair and gone. Back on top go the Red Sox. Steve Pierce launches one out of here to make it 3-2 Boston. Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall. Can only watch. A grand slam. Jackie Bradley Jr. A knockout punch here in the eighth.
That would do it. 8-2 for only the second time in the last two postseasons. The Astros lost a home game, and they face what I believe is a must-win game later today at Minute Maid Park. 8-2 was the final. John McClain joins us at 7:40 this morning. Let's go around the room. What were your guys' main takeaways from Game 3?
Well, first of all, you troll me at 6:01 in the morning by saying it's a must-win game. It's as close to a must-win game as possible, but it doesn't preclude a championship if they don't win this game. Look, in a game which was marred by allegations of cheating by scurrilous, cowardly Boston Red Sox types, who, by the way, I don't know what they're expecting if whatever their version of cheating they accuse the Astros of doing, it's not going to affect this series. It's the same as the Red Sox when they actually got caught cheating last year. They just got a fine. This is baseball. They don't care. They don't have the standards that football has. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. Roberto Osuna was a guy that I very confidently said that I trusted yesterday. I obviously cannot trust Roberto Osuna. So I walk in here this morning kind of disgusted with myself and Roberto Osuna. That's how I feel this morning.
Keuchel did his job in this one, even though he had the shaky start in the first inning. He got you through five. That's more than I would have expected out of him. But here's the problem. The bats did nothing. And they got over-aggressive after the first two innings. They got Nathan Eovaldi to pitch 44 pitches in the first two innings. And in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth inning, the Astros had a combined, let's add this all up, 9 at-bats of 2 pitches or less, which is awful. Also,
it's a good stat.
AJ Hinch picked Joe Smith and Roberto Osuna over Colin McHugh, which was a dumb choice.
Yeah.
Eovaldi
did a good job of mixing it up between his first and second time through the order. And he showed him a lot of speed in the first time through the order. And the Astros thought, like, we're going to pounce on this mofo. And he said, no, not so quick, buddy. That's not the way we do it in Elvin. We throw you some off-speed stuff. And I always get conflicted about getting critical of guys, with first pitch outs. Because, like, all right, are you not supposed to swing at strikes? Are you just supposed to just get up there and be a meek little kitten? And I think there's a balance in between that. When you look at the whole order doing it, yes, I agree.
If he hadn't pitched as many as he did in the first two innings, I mean, when he was at 44 after two, even though the Astros had scored one run, I thought to myself, he will be out of this game in only a matter of time. And then, I don't know if the Astros just got too over-aggressive or what, but, and I added it up wrong, actually 9 at-bats of 2 pitches or less. Altuve in the third, Gurriel in the third, Marwin in the third, all of those ended up being outs. Brian McCann, Tony Kemp, George Springer, Yuli Gurriel, Marwin Gonzalez again, and Brian McCann again.
And the only other thing I would say about that, and it's true, but aside from all that, we've gotten two games now where the Astros were supposed to be feasting on this bullpen for the Red Sox. Like, this is what you're excited about. This is the tipping point in this series. That was what was supposed to make the difference. You've got two really good 100-plus win baseball teams, what are they going to do when their pen has to face this lineup? They're going to hold them to 2 runs. And Roberto Osuna, I mean, like 3 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs wouldn't have done it because Roberto Osuna just fell apart. They've got to start producing versus this bullpen.
Here are my main takeaways from Game 3. Number one, I've been watching the baseball playoffs long enough, over 20 years, to know you can't go into these games trying to steal outs in your bullpen. And when you bring in Joe Smith in the sixth inning, it feels like you're trying to steal outs. It feels like you're trying to steal some outs to get to the seventh and bring in your actual big guns. And I'll give Steve Pierce credit. That pitch that he hit to left field, which he crushed, I can't believe he got it up there. Like, I don't think it was that bad of a pitch. But just in general, trying to steal outs with Joe Smith is not ideal in the postseason. That's number one. And number two, over the course of this series, the first 3 games, the Red Sox have just been a better baseball team. The starting pitching, I think, has been relatively equal, which is a bad thing from an Astros standpoint because that's the edge that you have. Their bullpen has been better, and their hitters have been much better, including Jackie Bradley Jr. Through 3 games, They have been the better baseball team. They have just flat out been a better baseball team.
Are you, all your fears about Alex Bregman talking smack on Instagram are that what if it doesn't work? What if you end up losing? Bregman did well.
He did well.
Bregman was fine, obviously, versus Evaldi.
He backed it up.
But Steve Pierce pointing towards the Astros dugout on his way in from that home run, and they didn't call attention to it on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on
Chandler
it.
Rome from the Chronicle pointed it out in the paper this morning.
Interesting that the Chronicle and all those other baseball writers pointed that instead of doing their job, which they should have done last night, which I did for them, and you should check out my Twitter feed. Says I have a Twitter thread.
What does that mean?
They didn't do their jobs.
What's their job?
Their job was to actually put anything out there last night about this cheating BS, which was the stupidest crap that I've ever read. It's so dumb. Unbelievably dumb. This happens in all baseball.
A lot of people probably don't understand what we're talking about right now. So we have to... You did a good thread. Go to @Gallant Says where he kind of lays it all out. But it's a bunch of nonsense.
So there's a story from Metro. The story from Metro relying on essentially what was...
Metro.com.
Metro Boston, which is not Metro United Kingdom. There's another website.
I don't know what either of these things are.
Okay, fine. The report that came out from Metro Boston was essentially based off of the fact that no one denied that there was a person, an Astros staffer, who had been removed from a credentialed area. He did not have a credential, and he had a small camera, and he was texting a lot.
Yeah.
So he got removed, but he didn't get removed from the ballpark, and he didn't have anything confiscated. And apparently, per Metro sources, security was aware of him because they had been tipped off thanks to the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. And there was another report that came out of Jeff Passan that sort of says the exact same thing, with the added details that the A's and the Dodgers in the World Series had been suspect of the Astros stealing signs, which, by the way, is perfectly bleeping legal. And then there is a piece in Forbes.
It's legal unless you use electronic devices.
Right,
small camera is a small device.
Right.
It's an electronic device.
Sure. No, well, here's the other thing, too. It's if it's coming from the dugout.
Right. So it's no electronic devices in the dugout.
Right.
Okay,
so this is technically a gray area.
Yeah.
And then there is a piece from Forbes that said baseball's already concluded their investigation of the matter, where you don't really have any of that from either the Jeff Passan report on Yahoo, or on top of that, you don't have it from that Metro piece, which was very speculative, in my opinion.
The Metro, who is that? Is that a talk radio guy doing an article on the Metro? Because he opens up the paragraph saying something like, well, whatever the Astros were trying to do, they got caught doing it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to back none of it up in the article.
That's
in terms
the problem.
Of like, you're presuming they were doing something guilty when you're right, they got caught doing it, or something worthy of suspicion. It doesn't sound like it's a big deal at all. And as we said, in baseball, look, the Red Sox and the Yankees got caught red-handed actually using an Apple Watch illegally. And it's not like you get docked, you don't get docked games, you don't get docked draft choices or anything. They just got fined. So it's not like it's a huge deal. But it's just going to be ironic that you're going to have to deal with a bunch of hypocritical Boston fans who think the whole world is out to get them for cheating, but are going to make a big deal about something that's not even cheating.
The problem is, because of Spygate and Deflategate, everyone from that region of the country, whenever they see another cheating incident, is going to lose their bleeping minds and say, why isn't this a big deal? Why isn't this a big deal? Why is this on CNN?
Could you imagine if this was the NFL? This would be the only story for months, basically, this kind of thing. And I think this will be a bigger story today, by the way. So you mentioned nothing in the Chronicle, nothing on MLB.com. I noticed that last night before I went to bed.
Oh, but do you know who weighed in? Our pal, Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer.
A lot of our old friends
not
weighed
just
in.
Trevor Bauer, also from jail, I guess, or a halfway house, Chris Correa, the guy from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, he weighed in?
Yes.
Does he have? I bet he's got internet access in that hoity-toity minimum security federal prison he's in.
Apparently he does. He tweeted 8 hours ago, guess who isn't surprised?
Yep.
That can't be actually him.
No, that's him.
Chris
Correa
on house arrest?
I think
Gosh,
so.
Can you tell me? By the way, has anything gotten better over the last decade than house arrest. Like, think about house arrest with internet. If they want to make house arrest actually a punishment, they got to not let them have internet service. Because you let me stay at home for 3 to 5 years,
it's like a vacation,
with internet? Yeah. What the hell am I missing? There's nothing. Well, internet, Uber Eats, I got everything I need.
This account is not verified on Twitter, but it is followed by Mark Berman, Tyler Kepner, Mike Farron of MLB Network
Radio.
Journalists
would never fall for a fake account.
He's only
David Barron, Evan
Drellick. Apparently.
I think it's him. I think it's him, actually.
But
too.
He's only tweeted six times?
Yeah, I think it's him. I think it's legitimately him.
I do too.
Yeah, I'm looking at this like he's got a bunch of tweets about sentencing reform and all these things. I'm like 98% sure this is actually him. But anyway, as far as, because I feel like we're going to go into the weeds on the cheating stuff.
I say we should get into the weeds on the cheating today. But as far as the
game
itself,
will. I think we will. We're going to spend a lot of time. By the way, we can treat this like a Texans Monday. So you guys can weigh in 713-572-4610. What you thought of the game, any issues you had, 713-572-4610.
That's a low blow, Mike. We can treat this like a Texans Monday because they lost. That's great. I get it. I take that. I get the shot you're making. 3-3, Mike. 3-3.
AFC South
chance. Share the division lead, except for the tiebreaker versus the Titans.
Yes, exactly. I got the sense, looking at the reaction after the game, that people are upset at AJ Hinch. I'm split on the decision to remove Dallas Keuchel from the game, because if you look at it, you know, he started pitching better later in the outing, and you obviously started the six in the bottom part of the order with the Red Sox. My whole thing is Joe Smith. Nobody really trusts Joe Smith. That's where I'm at in the sixth inning.
Same.
As far as Osuna goes, though, to me, this idea that you can't bring in a closer in a non-save situation is a laughable concept to me. If you can't bring in Roberto Osuna in a game you're trailing by one, when he hasn't pitched in 10 days during the baseball playoffs, then why trade for this guy? I can't live in a world where I can't bring in a closer in a non-safe situation. That's on him.
The guy hasn't pitched in 10 days either. I mean, like, there's Joe Smith hasn't pitched in 15 days. Every situation is a high-leverage situation in a seven-game series. Am I wrong on this? You go down 2-1 with only two home games remaining in the series, it's a high-leverage situation. You need to do something, especially since you're expecting at some point your offense to get on track versus these allegedly horrendous relievers.
My issue is that you could have picked Colin McHugh in two different spots and you picked him in neither despite warming him up in the bullpen, and that was for Joe Smith and that was also for Roberto Osuna. Instead you pitched him a third of an inning. That's it, to get out of the Osuna mess, which was already done.
What's the downside of using Osuna in the eighth inning down by a run? That's not an uncommon usage.
There's no downside to it. I just think McHugh, as I said yesterday, is more trustworthy right now.
He's more trustworthy. Okay. All right. I have no issue with using Osuna at all. That's on him. And I know a lot of people felt like the way that inning went, AJ should have come out and replaced him. I don't agree with that either. I mean, I could see it with the last guy that he hit, because that was the one that scored the run to make it 4-2. Other than that, he got to two strikes on basically every guy.
Yeah.
He got to two strikes on every guy, and he just couldn't punch him out.
Hit guys, it pulled the eject button. I mean, clearly that was not a spot to keep him in any longer.
So the bullpen has not been good the last two games. Again, the Red Sox have been the better baseball team through three games.
They're more complete. They're and especially in these last two games, obviously but look, the Astros are the better game in game one, and here we go.
And you're gonna have
must
to
win game, according to Mike. I say
must win game.
I agree.
You know what, Mike? I don't believe in Beatles. I don't believe in various gods around the world. But I believe in mathematics. This is not a must win game.